You're listening to the Overeaters Anonymous Mid-Peninsula podcast. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. For more information, please visit oamidpeninsula.org.
Well, thank you so much. What a privilege and an honor to be able to share with you all. It sounds like we are mostly Californians, so I thought I'd put a beach in the background. I wish I was at the beach. I'm actually at a campground in an RV in the back. So hopefully my internet connection is good, but I didn't want to miss the opportunity to be of service. My sponsor always said, you know, when you get asked, if you can do it, you do it, because service is one of the best ways to ensure immunity against my relapse and to carry the message of depth and weight that there is recovery in these rooms. Overeaters Anonymous, the 12 steps, has the power to change and transform lives and save lives, because I can certainly tell you that this program has saved my life. And like I said, to qualify, I came to OA in March of 1983, and I struggled for almost 5 years with half measures, using my will and my knowledge to try to combat this disease. And I love sayings and slogans, and one of my favorite slogans is, OA is like the mafia. Once you get in, you never get out, and it ruins all your binges because you know too much. And I mean, talk about suffering in Overeaters Anonymous. I thought I was one of those constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves, when in reality, I was unwilling to surrender to this program in its totality. To me, this is an all or nothing program. If I go to a soda machine and I put in, if it's $1.25 and I put in up to $1.24, I'm not going to get that Diet Coke, let's say. I got to be all in at $1.25 to get what this program has to offer. For me, it's total surrender. I am a bottle in the bag, living with the trench coat underneath the bridge, compulsive overeater and food addict. And finally, in December 7th, 1987, I finally truly surrendered to my powerlessness to this disease, this illness. And, you know, December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day, I like to say the ships were sunk and so was I. And thank God, I had that gift of desperation where I finally realized that I could not combat this disease on my own. I've run the full gambit of this disease. I have been overweight at about, let's see, my top weight, at least I stopped getting on the scale at about 170. And then I just didn't get on the scale. They say the three D's of the disease: denial, delusion, defiance. And I had that in spades. And I just didn't get on the scale. I'm pretty sure I put on another 20. So I was pushing about 200. And then I have been anorexic as well. I'm 5'7 and 8, 5, well, almost 5'8. And my lowest weight was 102. I definitely know that number, driving in the car in the summer with the jacket on and the heat on, you know, lost my period, all of that. Also, by far and away, my worst manifestation of this disease was my bulimia. I am a critical level bulimic. And this disease is so cunning and baffling, because I thought, you know, hey, if I could just eat whatever I want and then stick my finger down my throat, I thought it was like this magic cure. Because at that point, I was so warped by this disease. If I'd had a genie in a bottle and three wishes, you know, I would have rubbed the bottle and the three wishes would have been eat and not get fat, eat and not get fat, and eat and not get fat, right? Because that's what I thought. I thought, you know, thin was well. And I did anything and everything to sacrifice myself, because I wanted those numbers on the scale to tell me that I was okay. And I just about killed myself doing it. Oh, like I said, at 102, my normal weight is around 130. So, you know, you're tracking about how far I went down. And with my purging, I was purging 10 and 12 times a day. I got to a point where I couldn't keep anything in my stomach without that reflex to purge. And whereas before, my binging used to be where I would eat to the point of feeling so full, I couldn't get another bite in, and then I would pass out. With the purging, my binges went from a few hours to 12 hours to 24 hours to 48 hours because I could just binge and pour and purge constantly. I was living in an apartment off campus. I was in college. I was 22 years old. Well, 18 when I went to my first OA meeting, and 22 by the time that I surrendered to this disease. So, you know, I'm also a recovered drug addict and alcoholic. I mean, are you catching my drift here? If there was any way to escape or anesthetize my feelings, you know, fill the hole in my soul with a knife and a fork is what I tried to do. That's my primary addiction, compulsive eating. But I also went for anything and everything that could help me escape myself. And, you know, it talks a lot about this disease in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm an unabashed big book thumper or whatever. And in the HOW program, you know, we read, we learn about this illness of compulsive eating. And it talks about it in the doctor's opinion. And it says here, you know, why do I do this to myself? Why do I eat like this? Why do I do that? And it says here, if you swap out, you know, alcohol and alcoholism with food and compulsive eating, you know, it describes me perfectly. And it says here, men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol. So I eat because my particular binge foods produce the effect that I want. The sensation is so elusive that while they admit it is injurious, they cannot after a time differentiate the true from the false. To them, their alcoholic life seems the only normal one. They are restless, irritable, and discontent until they can again sense the ease and comfort that comes at once by taking a few drinks or a few bites. Drinks and bites that they see others taking with impunity. After they have succumbed to the desire again, as so many do, the phenomenon of craving develops, and they pass through the well-known stages of a spree, emerging remorseful, with a firm resolution not to drink again. This is repeated over and over again, unless this person has an entire psychic change. To me, that's the process of putting the food down and working the 12 steps and the tools of the program. There is very little hope for his recovery. And this was so true for me. You know, they call it a dis-ease. I had a dis-ease living in my own skin. I didn't understand how to handle my feelings. I didn't know how to handle life. And I believe this illness had me so warped and obsessed with foods, weight, calorie scale, I couldn't differentiate the true from the false. I thought this was the way you were supposed to cope and live your life. I didn't know that I had an illness. And when I put those, what I call alcoholic foods, into my system, I was like an alcoholic. I was off to the races. You know, they say this disease is twofold: physical allergy, mental obsession. And the big book is very clear about this allergic reaction and what it is. For me, when I put my alcoholic substances into my body, that sugar, high fat, flour, and volume, big trigger for me as a bulimic, I have an allergic reaction. What is that allergic reaction? The phenomenon of craving. And that's what happens. I cannot stop because my body physically develops a phenomenon of craving for more. That's the allergic reaction, the phenomenon of more. They call this the disease of more. So for me, the mental obsession drives me there, and the physical allergy kept me there. Because if I knew that these things made me crazy, if I knew that if I put one bite of sugar into my body, that it would make me not be able to stop, you would think a sane person would say, I'm not going to do that anymore, right? But the mental obsession, the way this disease warps our thinking in our minds, or my mind, I can't stop my brain without the transformative process of these 12 steps. Mm-hmm. I can't think myself through to think clearly to not do it. You know, my brain was so screwed up that basically the best idea I could come up with by the end of the day was to stick those alcoholic foods into my mouth. Talk about the definition of insanity, and then stick my finger down my throat to puke it back up. This is not sane behavior. I am not normal. I cannot, nor will I ever be, a normal eater. Right. So for me, this program is all about establishing boundaries where, one, I don't eat my alcoholic foods, so I don't trigger that phenomenon of craving. And two, transforming my thinking so that I become sane when it comes to my behavior and my character defects. And that, to me, is what these 12 steps are about. And what I love about the HOW program is that it's very clear about what the line in the sand is. I get a definition of what is abstinent and what is not for me. And then I can get on in the business of working these 12 steps. The big book calls for entire abstinence. I don't see anywhere in the big book talks about how we are there. They're eating in their process of working the 12 steps, or they're drinking in the process of getting recovered. For me, I have to be willing to surrender and act my way into a new way of thinking, believing via the 12 steps. You know,
that's
I don't
10 think minutes.
Thank you. I don't think my way there, right? I act my way there. I have to take a leap of faith. And that's what step one is about. It's about surrender, which says, you know, my best thinking is killing me here. So I looked to you, to whom the problem has been solved, to show me how to recover. It talks about it and how it works in the chapter, how it works. At some of these steps we balked, we thought we could find an easier, softer way. You know, I had to be willing to say my way wasn't working anymore. And like I said, I spent almost 5 years trying to figure out a way to do it my way. So if there was any way for me to try to figure that out, I would have done that. And then on December 7th, I walked into my first Overeaters Anonymous HOW meeting. Now, this was 33 years ago. So there, as far as I understand it, you know, HOW started in Arizona, Sedona, or somewhere out there, went to the East Coast. And this is what I love about my higher power, whom I choose to call God, doing for me what I could not do myself. When I had heard about these HOW meetings, they were very notorious, where people were like, don't go there. You know, they're just crazy. They're Nazis with the food. They're so restrictive. They don't know, blah, 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 blah. But I was desperate because I thought that I had failed Overeaters Anonymous. And there was one meeting in the Maryland area, one meeting in the entire state. Actually, there was one meeting in the tri-state area of Maryland, DC, and Virginia. And when I finally surrendered and said, you know what, I'm going to check this meeting out because I need to do something or this disease is going to kill me. So I looked up the meeting, and it brings me to tears to think about it now, because the meeting was in walking distance of my house, okay? In the tri-state area, walking distance of my house. You know, this is for me, like I've heard in a meeting once where a guy said, you know, all it takes is a little willingness to believe in a power greater than yourself. And when you do that, your higher power will come running to you. And that's the way I feel about this program. If we're willing to take action, put our ego aside and what we think we know and surrender to this program, put the food down, go through the discomfort and the withdrawals that happen because of the physical allergy and start working these steps like our hair's on fire, I feel like higher power shows up in spades. And I'll be honest with you, I was firmly agnostic those first 5 years in Overeaters Anonymous. When I went to my first OA meeting in March of 83, I got up in the middle of the meeting because they mentioned the word God. And I thought, oh my God, it's a cult. It's a cult. I got to get out of here. And I got up in the middle of the meeting and I walked out. And God bless you all, the fellowship, God with skin on. Someone followed me out of the meeting and they didn't try to convince me about a higher power or anything like that. They read the questions. She gave me a pamphlet and she said, look, Amy, the only requirement for membership is a desire to not be crazy around food. Only you can decide that. You are welcome anytime. We want you here. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous. Welcome home if you choose to make this your home. And here's a pamphlet. And we still have it today in Overeaters Anonymous. It's called 15 Questions, Are You a Compulsive Overeater? And now it's incorporated in a new pamphlet called Where Do We Start? And there's 15 questions in there about, you know, for example, Do I eat sensibly in front of others and then make up for it when I am alone? Do I need to chew or have something in my mouth at all times? Food, gum, mints, candies, beverages. Have I ever eaten food that is burned, frozen, spoiled, or containers in the grocery store or out of the garbage? I mean, all 15 questions, I checked yes. Trust me, it was the first 100 I'd gotten in an exam in a really long time, because at that point I was failing out of school. I was taking the money my parents sent me for books, and I was locking the door of my dorm room and binging and purging around the clock. So that's what this disease did to me. But I still got up in that middle of that meeting, and I left when it said God. But when they handed me that pamphlet, it was like a splash of cold water on my face. And I said, this is where I belong. And like I said, I struggled for almost 5 years. So they say, don't walk out 5 minutes before the miracle, because I believe it just took what it took for me to finally surrender and find the HOW program, because I needed that structure. I needed that discipline, and I needed that line in the sand for what abstinence is. And I needed to understand, frankly, how to work the tools of the program. You know, I can be stark raving abstinent on the tools, but I can't work the steps without the tools of the program. I call the tools are the handrails as I walk up the steps, because I need the tools to work these 12 steps. And the HOW program gave me specific instructions on how to do that. And that's exactly what I needed. You know, fast forward, you know, 33 years, how do I encompass, you know, what this program has meant to me? And some of y'all have shared and have been around the program longer than I have. And I was so excited to hear the time, because frankly, I don't know if you have a lot of that in California, but on the East Coast in my area, we don't. And it makes me so excited to have you all here. I mean, I know it's one day at a time. My sponsor used to say to me, the one who got up earliest has the most abstinence, because it's just one day at a time based on our spiritual fitness. But I mean, to see the longevity and the power of this program is just, you know, it's just so exciting to me. And you'll probably understand, you know, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, how do you explain all of that in the few minutes that, you know, that I have left to talk? But I can tell you, this program was a crash course on growing up. It was understanding and surrendering to who and what I was, a compulsive overeater and a food addict, that I will never change from that there are certain foods I can't eat. There's a boundary that I need to live within, but within those boundaries is an opportunity to live a tremendous, blessed life. Has my life been perfect? Absolutely not. Have there been ups and downs? Absolutely. Has there been trauma, death, loss of jobs? All of those things. But because of this program, I am now equipped to deal with life on life terms in a different way. You know, that whole agnosticism, when I finally started working the program, my sponsor said to me, look, Amy, I don't care if you think it's Jesus, Buddha, or the universal vibes of a tree, as long as your higher power isn't you and it's greater than you. And I finally got it. And then over the years, as I worked the steps, my higher power began to evolve. And now, believe it or not, I never would have said this. If you'd told me this like 30 years ago, I would have said never, never, ever, ever, ever. Now I choose to call my God, my higher power, God. You know, and it's been an incredible evolution. Thank you. I see that 2 minutes. So, you know, not only have I been equipped with a new way to handle life on life's terms, I have a fellowship that can show me the way. There isn't anything that I haven't gone through that God hasn't put in this program, who has gone through it already, is on the other side, and is completely willing to show me how they got through. You know, they say in OA, we'll love you until you can love yourselves. You all have shown me love beyond my wildest imagining. My best friends are in this program. They have grown up with me. And, you know, you taught me how to get a job. You know, you've taught me how to date. I mean, I didn't have dating. I only had hostages prior to program, right? You taught me how to date, get married, have children. I'm an empty nester now, you know, or at least I was until COVID. Thank you very much. You know, it's unbelievable the blessings that I have been able to go through. And lately I've gone through a lot of physical issues that I've had to deal with surgically and things like that. You've helped me go through that again, having to take pain medications. I've had people bring me food, you know, abstinent weighed and measured food to the hospital. You all have given me a purpose, which is to carry this message to the still suffering compulsive eater. I never thought I would have a purpose before, but I do now. You all have given me that purpose, and nothing makes me feel better than to be able to be of service to the still suffering compulsive overeater. When they say that nothing ensures immunity by giving service, I believe that, but I've also gotten all the benefits that service does. Sponsorship, you know, man, sponsorship, keep you green, you know what I mean? And your 10th through 11th step, that's how I maintain today. I maintain my life dealing with me, myself, and I on a daily basis, that selfishness and self-centeredness on a daily basis, but I have 10, 11, and 12 to deal with that today. You know, the maintenance steps. So anyways, that's pretty much enough out of me, but I am so, so grateful for all that you all have done and with for me, and grateful to be here today. And I see the timer, so I'm going to pass. So let me just say to the newcomer, welcome to Overeaters Anonymous. If you are new, welcome home. You know, page 17 in the big book says we have found a common solution. To me, that means there is no secret code. Put the food down, work to 12 steps, and together we can do what we could never do alone. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.